One who cries struggled to keep himself from shivering as he laid the old man down in the thick robes of the shelter he'd borrowed. The low structure had been closest to the dance, the easiest to carry the dying shaman to.
There, rest easy.
I was powerful once. I led the people, led them well, tried to do the best. I tried, you understand?
We remember.
Did my best, but the people, they always want so much, so much. They suck away your soul, suck you up, like the long dark sucks up heat. They want so much, always hungry, demanding. Can't be wrong. Had to pretend. Lie. I tried. Best I could.
We know. Rest now, Grandfather.
Pain. Deep. All along my left side and arm. Pain.
Don't worry. You'll be...
One who cries stopped cold, staring at the place he'd left his darts.
Dying from the inside.
But One Who Cries was scuttling out from the caribou hide cover, staring about frantically as the crowd watched Wolf Dreamer, who stood before them, hands raised. One Who Cries ran, skirting the crowd, searching.
High, look high.
He sprinted, leaping from boulder to boulder up the ridge. Raven Hunter had to be up there somewhere. He saw him as he scrambled over the rocks.
No! He's your brother!
One Who Cries leapt, just as Raven Hunter launched the dart. The dart flew, striking a little boy who stood at Wolf Dreamer's feet. Enraged, One Who Cries grappled with Raven Hunter. Raven Hunter smashed him across the head with his atlatl, ripping his cheek open.
Let go of me! I'm saving the people!
You're killing us!
The two fought, rolling over and over. One Who Cries grabbed up a hand-sized rock, smashing it into Raven Hunter's ribs. Raven Hunter battered One Who Cries with the atlatl. Desperate, One Who Cries sank his stubby, worn teeth into the man's thigh. Raven Hunter grabbed One Who Cries' head and slammed it against the ground. Lights flashed behind One Who Cries' eyes, and the world shivered and slipped under his loose fingers as he fell into gray. Singing Wolf pulled One Who Cries' bloody head to his lap.
Cousin?
The people crowded around, staring. Singing Wolf swallowed hard. He sat before Heron's shelter, Raven Hunter standing haughtily before him, back straight, arms crossed, glaring around like a cornered eagle. The blood leaking out of One Who Cries' head had coated Singing Wolf's fingers, sticky, matting his hands. Four teeth rocked back and forth, sucking his gums, disbelief in his rheumy eyes.
You live. Hard hated that one.
The breeze whipped Wolf Dreamer's hair wildly about his head as he approached. The crowd parted, leaving a wide swath for him.
Twisted Root is dead. I watched the boy's soul slip from the body. A yellow-red soul. The wound left it blue and green. Cold. You understand? Tonight, I'll sing Twisted Root to the sky. The Star People will accept him.
Raven Hunter lifted his chin, arrogant eyes seeking among the crowd, locking with the young men's.
Now what?
You killed one of your people, brother. A 6-year-old boy. You broke the peace. The light is draining from your soul. You're losing yourself to the power.
Singing Wolf looked up, his eyes wet with tears, yet burning with rage.
He killed one of the people. The penalty is...
He's the best warrior we have.
Eagle Cries elbowed in from the crowd.
He's shown honor in the fight against the others.
Singing Wolf glared into Eagle Cry's haughty black eyes.
He would have killed the Dreamer!
Runs and Light killed Crowcaller. Witchery, that's how. He witched him.
Liar! One more word and I'll...
Singing Wolf laid One Who Cries on the hide under his knees and rose, eyes glinting dangerously. Wolf Dreamer placed a cool hand on Singing Wolf's shoulder, pulling him back.
Wait. I see your soul, old friend. You'd hate yourself if you followed your anger at renewal.
Singing Wolf fought with his rage, barely winning despite the Dreamer's words.
He has lied, murdered, raped. Why do I expect more from a coward who'd betray his people?
Singing Wolf looked down at the blood on his hands. Ravenhunter tensed, trying to take a step forward, restrained by Foreteeth, who stood behind him.
You'll regret that, old man.
How have we come to this?
Witchery. I'll not see the people destroyed by my brother. When he killed Crowcaller, my friend, through dark dreaming, I grabbed up my darts and...
Liar twice.
They turned to see One Who Cries weakly prop himself on his elbows. Blood streaked his tanned cheeks in a web.
What do you know, One Who Cries? Perhaps it's as Ravenhunter says.
Foreteeth turned, uneasy eyes on Wolf Dreamer. One Who Cries blinked, weaving, before lying back down.
It's as I say. Dark dreaming has no place among the people. My brother is a witch. He had all the people enchanted by his act, fooled by his words and the way he stopped Crowcaller's heart. I would have freed them. I took the first opportunity, that's all.
A man does things in passion, but the dart struck Little Twisted Root. There must be punishment.
It was an accident. What's wrong with us? Here before us is a witch. When I saw him perverting the people, I grabbed up my darts.
Liar! You stole my darts. Then you went around to shoot from the side of the ridge where you had a clear shot. My darts! So no one would know who did it. My tent is across the fire, Ravenhunter. You planned it.
Your darts? Head wounds do that.
Who has the darts? Where is the dart that struck the boy?
Twisted Root's father, tears streaking his face, came forward, a short length of bloody wood in his hands. Singing Wolf took the gruesome weapon, holding it up, displaying the broken point.
This belongs to One Who Cries. Look where the boy was darted. You'll find the detachable shaft with the fletching. Only One Who Cries makes a dart like this.
Singing Wolf turned to Ravenhunter, accusation in his hot glare.
The penalty for breaking the peace, killing one of the people, is death.
Foreteeth closed his eyes, a look of misery on his face. Wolf Dreamer stepped to look into his brother's eyes.
I asked you not to try and stop me. I see loops and coils in the future, but not the whole length of the path you will travel. Go. Alone. Find your destiny.
You're making me an outcast? Condemning me?
Go! Even as we speak, the web is spinning out, brother. Seek your heritage and return, so you can force our final meeting. Opposites crossed, final resolution. You must lose yourself to see, brother, or remain in darkness. What do you choose?
Ravenhunter turned, glaring out at the gathered crowd.
I call my brother a witch. I denounce him here before you all. I, Ravenhunter, will follow no witch into the darkness. I alone will stand before the others and show you all what honor is.
He searched their eyes, pinning each of his uneasy warriors in turn with his hot glare.
Who will come with me?
No one moved. After several heartbeats, Foreteeth stepped forward.
No one goes with you, Ravenhunter. I say you are outcast.
But he murdered! The penalty for murdering!
No, Singing Wolf. Ravenhunter will not die for killing Twisted Root. More, he is not outcast.
Foreteeth spun on an ancient heel.
You would dare argue with an elder who...
He stopped, seeing the dream in the youth's eyes. Swallowing, he dropped his gaze, shoulders sagging.
No. No, Ravenhunter is not outcast.
Ravenhunter must face the future alone.
Cowards! The others will crush us to dust. Salvation is out there, warring with the others. There is my honor, and I'll go take it.
Breaking free of the hands that held him, Ravenhunter stalked to his tent, a path clearing for him among the crowded ranks of the people. In silence, they watched as he picked up his weapons, robes, and pouch, before running nimbly up the path. At the top, he stopped, turned back, an angry figure against a cloud-gray sky. He gestured once, futilely, then disappeared. Singing Wolf looked back in time to see Wolf Dreamer turn, his face ghastly pale.
Help me.
Singing Wolf ran to grab his arm and lead him stumbling back to Heron's shelter.
The end is coming. See the spinning of the web? It spins around the darkness. It will.
He broke into uncontrollable shivering. A horrid fear was born in Singing Wolf's heart. Dancing Fox pulled her Arctic Fox hood over her head to block the icy breeze penetrating the shelter.
Why must it fall to me? I'm not the one for this. Such leadership belongs to the elders. Why did Singing Wolf call me here?
Singing Wolf peered into the fire, a frown lining his forehead. Foreteeth looked sick to the very root of his soul. In the chill of the night, the fire did little to warm the small shelter. Singing Wolf looked up.
I think we should order everyone to go through the hole in the ice.
We really don't have much choice. The others know about the route south. Moonwater has told them everything by now.
Maybe they'll just let us go.
Foreteeth sat in the rear of the shelter, listening, eyes focused somewhere in the glowing coals as he rocked back and forth, lips moving silently. They were all awed, tired, drained clear to their souls. Singing Wolf kept glancing uneasily toward Heron's shelter, where Wolf Dreamer lay delirious. Crowcaller's body had been carried to the high spot above the valley. Buffalo Back and a group of women sang there, urging the old shaman's soul to the blessed star people, as Wolf Dreamer ordered. The people were in shock.
Too much blood's been spilled. Ravenhunter's warriors tortured and mutilated the dead. To the others' way of thinking, those souls will never go to the place of the dead under the sea. The families of those mutilated warriors won't rest until the souls have been appeased. It's honor.
Is that true?
Blueberry and I had long talks about it.
Blueberry nodded glumly. Dancing Fox shook her head.
The best bet is to get away. Go through the hole.
The people will go through the hole in the ice. There's no doubt of that now. Only the water is blocking the way. We have to hold on until the long dark. In the meantime, the others aren't this far south. Yet.
Dancing Fox worked her aching ankle as she looked at Blueberry.
Do you think we have that long?
Who knows? It'll depend on their clan ceremonies. It will depend on Icefire, too.
Icefire? Their dreamer?
They're equivalent to a dreamer, I think. No one knows much about him. He's a strange man.
Anyone with spirit power is strange.
We'll need to protect ourselves in the meantime.
Dancing Fox met Singing Wolf's eyes across the fire.
We know the land down here better than they do. We can control some of the major trails through the hill country to the north. Maybe we can hold them back long enough to get our people through the ice. How's Wolf Dreamer?
Bad. He's half in the dream, half out. He can't keep anything down. Give him water and he spits it up. He lies there, singing, mumbling. Every time I'm in there, the look in his eyes scares me to death.
We can't have more raiding then. That only fuels anger among the others.
Already they're chafing at what happened to Ravenhunter. They were off balance, shocked at the renewal. Everything was so incredible they didn't know what to do. Now they've had time to think. Some are wondering if it wouldn't have been better to go with Raven Hunter.
But that's how the Dreamer's going to say it's to be done. No more raiding.
He will?
He will. And if he doesn't, outside the circle of us, who'll know?
Fourteeth straightened, about to speak. He stopped, closing his mouth, looking away.
That's taking a lot of...
necessary precautions. That is, if Wolf Dreamer doesn't come to his senses from the dreaming and do it himself.
This could be dangerous. We all saw what happened to Crowcaller. We saw.
We have got to use the power of Wolf Dreamer's name. If we don't, the cohesion of the people will leak away and be broken again. It's now or never. Someone has to begin to undo what Raven Hunter created. The young men have to be stopped. I won't usurp Wolf Dreamer's responsibilities. I'm not interested in leading the people. But we don't know how long Wolf Dreamer's going to be locked in the dream. We don't know if he'll ever come out of it. In the meantime, someone has to see to the people. This time it can't be Raven Hunter making his own way. It can't be the elders alone who do it. We all have to agree. Otherwise, the people end up split apart like old caribou bone left in the sun. We can't have everyone following separate paths. We're not strong enough to do that with the others closing and nowhere to run. Are we agreed?
Dancing Fox looked ardently from face to face. One by one, they nodded.
And how do you see us doing this, woman?
Dancing Fox frowned.
Singing Wolf and Eagle Cries would be the best choices to direct the warriors. Together, they can lead the young men in a new direction.
But Eagle Cries worships Raven Hunter. He's
respected by all the young men. We must join both sides of the people now, or lose some forever.
Agreed. I'll talk to him. Oh, for the days when I could be a surly, callous complainer. I owe Broken Branch for this.
For the days when we were all young, with no cares. Fourteenth, we need the elders to calm the people. Remind them that food will be scarce until we're through the ice. We all look up to you and Buffalo Back and the others. You've got to reassure the people, inspire them. Remind them we are all one. Bolster their courage.
Yes, we can do that. For once, I'm pleased to hear a young woman talk with so much sense. Sense among the young seems to have blown away with Wind Woman's breath.
I'll give some thought to preparing for the ice. We'll need to gather all the berries we can for winter food. We need to strip out the willows and dwarf birch. With game this scarce, there won't be much fat rendered. For light in the hole, maybe we can get by with willow roots dried in the sun. They burn fast, and they're heavy and awkward to carry and hard to keep lit, but they'll be light. In the meantime, we'll make a collection of all the fat we can find and store it someplace where the permafrost will keep it and the mice can't get it. What there is should be saved for emergency food, or in case the willows burn out under the ice. The children can organize drives. See if we can't trap mice and ground squirrels and dry them. All these young boys and girls can drive the shallows of the big river for char and grayling.
Starvation food.
Singing Wolf pursed his lips with distaste. At Dancing Fox's hard look, he dropped his eyes.
But I gave up being proud a long time ago.
You really think the others would walk into that hole? It's just... Well, you'd have to be crazy to walk into something like that. Crazy! People shouldn't be underground. You know, what if someone should die in there? How would their souls find the way to the Blessed Star People? They'd be stuck in the dark forever.
You don't know how frightening it really is. Wait until you walk through there.
I've been a lot of places, seen a lot of things. I can't say I look forward to walking under the ice. This new land had better be all you say.
It is. And who knows what we'll find in that valley running to the south.
Maybe a land without starvation?
A place where the game is everywhere and we can raise our children without hunger. I remember Heron talking about a new plant that the people would eat. I can see myself growing fat in a new land. Yes, I can see that with little effort.
Another dreamer?
No, I'm not brave enough. We've got to do something. Look around. I see our people falling apart like an old parka when the gut threads rot. I don't like the hole in the ice. I can't see how Wolf Dreamer could have ever walked into it. But he did, then found the path Wolf promised. Everything he said to us at Mammoth Camp has come true.
Forteeth reached behind him to drop another couple of twigs into the fire. The cheery additional light vanquished a bit of the storm. Dancing Fox pulled her wealth of hair back where the breeze teased it.
We've got three choices. Stay and starve, push north and fight the others, or go through the ice. I follow Wolf Dreamer.
We have to if we want to survive.
On the other side, it won't be easy either. All the people coming to Heron's Valley have hunted out the game. Those hunters we don't need to scout out the others will have to search out every animal left up here to give us enough food for the trip.
Not the old bull mammoth. He's Heron's. Dead or not, we don't need her wrath.
We don't have a meat supply to go into the long dark.
Heron protected that old bull. I say save the old bull. More than that, Wolf Dreamer would say save the old bull.
All right, the old bull's saved. He's life for the people, but I'll concede. Which means that starvation food is going to be very important. No time must be lost. Maybe the game will be as plentiful on the other side as it was this year. Maybe not. We all know animals move. We won't have as much with which to make do. Like the horrible long dark, this could be a terrible year. Our clothes are worn, the insulating hair is falling out, the leather's abraded to holes. It'll be hard. One of the hardest things we've faced yet.
Our last chance. Do you agree, Grandfather?
I've heard Dancing Fox. If it will save the people, I'll do it. Let us hope the others wait, and the game will favor us south of the ice, in this new land.
The rolling hills were hazy, a green-yellow that couldn't obscure the gray tones of rock. Wildflowers sprinkled the land in irregular patterns of yellow and blue, but no animals grazed within sight. Icefire sat cross-legged before a small fire, his gaze restless and flickering with disturbing thoughts. Behind him, Red Flint stood, looking out over the land.
The farther south we go, the drier it gets. The higher it gets, the scrubbier the plants are. I don't like it. I've heard complaints. The hunting's not so good here. The elders are talking about moving north again, to be where more game winters through the deep cold.
But the enemy have found a way through the ice.
Me? Travel days through some hole? Do I look like a ground squirrel?
You heard what Smoke had to say. More hostile peoples are pushing east, filling the territory left by the glacier people. It's the disease. Some horror is loose far to the west. I wonder how much time we'll have before they come to kill us. If the water keeps rising, the ghost hole might be our only hope.
I think it's more than that, old friend. I think you're driven, obsessed by this vision of yours, and that witch, the Watcher. Oh, yes, I saw you the other day. Your eyes went shiny. You didn't hear what was said to you. And then, when you finally mumbled, you said, "My son's coming." What son? You have no son.
Icefire looked away, licking his lip.
I didn't know I spoke.
You spoke. Many heard you.
My son doesn't matter. Our hope is to head south.
You believe this ghost hole story?
You call your own daughter a liar?
No, but I think she was taken in by that dreamer of theirs and his delusions of a land of plenty.
But she saw the game.
She might have, but after people have been there for a year or two, it'll be gone, just like it is here. I say we head north. We left a perfectly good salt water full of seals and fish and clams and mussels.
And already the Buffalo Clan is living there. They follow in our tracks while the Tiger Belly and Roundhoof clans are restricted by the rising saltwater along the western plains. True, it allows them to defend the west from the far enemy and their disease, but people are worried.
Let them worry. We know there's plenty of food along the coast. Meanwhile, let's destroy the enemy here. make one concerted effort to wipe them out and live north.
Yes, but how long before the Far Enemy and other tribes cross the water and...
Listen, old friend. I've had my ears open. I've listened to the representatives sent by the clans. Ice Stalker and the others say the White Tusk clan is happy with what we've done. We've brought the White Hide home again. The old men think that's enough, but the hunters complain that the game isn't as plentiful here. The young women whisper among themselves, fearful of being captured by an enemy. I see an erosion of will, a lack of commitment to the extermination of these enemy. You must do something. Stir up their hatred. Remind them of the rapes, of the mutilated babies, of captured warriors cut apart and left for the crows. You have that power. Make them hate, or we'll lose the hide next year.
Icefire looked up at him, smiling feebly.
And what are the other clan representatives saying? What do the Roundhoof and Buffalo think? Do they, too, argue for extermination?
Since being here, they have doubts about the honor gained warring with such a small remnant as the enemy. They wonder whether we truly have courage. And many are clamoring for peace.
The people tire of war.
Yes, but they don't understand that we have to...
What are they saying?
Let the enemy go, they cry. We've killed enough to atone for the deaths of our own. Isn't that enough? Enough. Enough! Where's our honor? Already too many of our young girls carry their rotted seed.
Is this a personal battle? Have you stopped caring what the people want?
Red Flint's lips twitched as he looked away.
Moonwater has told me over and over how the enemy treated her. I want them wiped out. All of them. Pay them back for the mutilations of our young men. When the last of them is killed and buried, then I say we go back and live by the salt water.
I walk around the camp and hear our children talking about the Blessed Star people. I like that. I hear them talk about the monster children. I like that story too. Perhaps we shouldn't be warring with each other. We were one people once.
Impossible! Relatives to an enemy who cut my cousin's body apart when they captured him? Cut him apart! His soul's out there, wandering, crying for justice. And you'd befriend these enemy? I say kill them for the vile corruption they are. Men, women, children. Brain them all! Erase every last trace of their seed from the earth!
So you will destroy your daughter's child when it comes?
Of course not. What sort of question is that?
The seed is this jumping hare's. Your daughter's child was planted on the other side of the ice by an enemy. But then, you'll have to kill Wasp over there. Look at him.
He pointed to the handsome boy who frolicked with a group, practicing throwing their darts at a mound of soil.
What are you trying...
He thinks he's going to be a warrior. Downchest and Ten Feathers fawn over him. He was the child they couldn't have, remember? Black Claw picked him out of an enemy camp years ago, stole him away in the middle of the night. He's full-blooded enemy. You'll break their hearts when you kill him.
You're twisting my words.
Am I? I don't think so.
I don't like killing either. But we have to have a way of gaining honor or we'll lose the hide again. And these enemy and their disgusting ways are the best thing.
He stopped, shielding his eyes against the sun as he scrutinized the distant hills.
I don't believe it. Look.
Icefire turned, seeing the man trotting toward the camp. Even over the distance, he couldn't mistake the long parka of the enemy. The man continued to run as warriors boiled out of shelters, knocking darts. Icefire leapt to his feet.
Careful. Keep watch. This could be a diversion, something to take our attention away from the rear.
Young men sprinted for the surrounding hilltops, heeding his orders. No more than two dart throws away, the enemy stopped, shucking off his parka, dropping his pack. Naked, he picked up his weapons and walked forward.
Wait!
Icefire raised a hand as his young men aimed their weapons. At his words, they stopped, milling, uncertain at what the most respected elder could want when prey presented itself so easily. Icefire walked forward, snatches of the visions floating in his mind. An angry young man, defiant. His heart began to pound. Walrus, near the front of the ready warriors, looked at Icefire in alarm.
Respected Elder! No farther! He can hit you from there!
Icefire shook his head, absently aware of the looks they cast his way. His eyes remained locked with the enemy warriors. A tunnel darkened around him, hazy and fluttering. Icefire walked forward in a dream. His heart beat strongly, blood coursing in his veins, as he went to stand before the young man, aware of his warriors closing around them, nervous, held back by respect for his power. The enemy stood tall, straight, well-muscled. The features of his face were finely formed, the chin strong, nose long and broad. The forehead rose smoothly over emotionally charged black eyes. Like a bent willow, he stood, poised, chest rising and falling, belly tight, balanced for conflict. Not once did his eyes flicker from Icefire's.
Who are you?
Raven Hunter. I've come to kill you.
Why?
I've come to take the heart and soul of the others. By doing so, I'll destroy you and save my people.
Wolf Dreamer has driven you out.
This time, the enemy flinched. Turning, Icefire raised his hands.
There will be no death here today.
He looked harshly back at Raven Hunter.
Come to my shelter. We must talk, you and I.
Why? What have you to say to me? I'm here to kill you and die. My visions have betrayed me. My people have betrayed me. What's left?
I am.
Then die.
Icefire moved, leaping to grasp the stone tip of the dart as Raven Hunter threw his weight into the throw. They stood for a second, face to face, struggling. As quickly, Walrus closed from behind, wiry arms clamping around Raven Hunter's chest. Other warriors rushed in, driving him to the ground, pummeling him with fists and elbows.
I want him alive!
Icefire gripped the dart meant for his heart in one knotted fist, a faint tracing of blood sliding down the meaty part of his palm where the keen edge had cut. Raven Hunter strained against his captors.
Why?
Icefire's eyes narrowed as an ache built in his chest.
I owe it to your brother.
The Mammoth Hide Lodge stretched 30 feet long and 20 wide. People crowded in, anxious to see what would happen to the crazy captive. Yellowleaf, a bent old woman with long gray braids, edged forward, eyes squinted.
I say we cut him apart just like you did our sons! Send his foul soul out to wander forever with my grandsons! That's justice! That's honor to pay back in kind!
Icefire bowed his head, clutching his arms tightly across his breast. Red Flint wanted a campaign of extermination. The angry warriors were with him, ready to crush the last of the enemy before they could escape through the hole. The rest of the White Tusk clan felt satisfied. They'd run the enemy out of the good country. Now they wanted to enjoy their spoils before the Buffalo clan moved into those grounds. Moonwater elbowed her way forward.
You do know who this is, don't you? This man is their war leader, Raven Hunter. He's the one who led the raids against us. He's the one who told them to crush our infants and torture old women. He led them, made them do it. You want revenge? Here's the one to get it from.
She sought out the greatest warriors, chin high, challenging, her swollen belly reminding them of what the enemy did to captives.
When you kill him slowly. Then, according to his beliefs, bury him in the ground.
Raven Hunter heaved against the thongs binding him, muscles straining under sweat-smooth skin.
No! Don't bury me! Don't leave my soul in the...
Walrus kicked him in the side, doubling him over, leaving him shaking as his stomach heaved from nausea. Walrus stared down near the enemy.
I heard that my nephew, young Bird, screamed for 3 days while they piled coals on his body. I heard this raven hunter cooked his legs off his body, cooked young Bird's manhood, and then made him eat it. I think we'll make this raven hunter die very slowly, very painfully. I, for one, will urinate into his empty eye sockets. Then we will bury him, perhaps while a little spark of life remains in his body, so we know we capture his soul underground.
Raven Hunter's jaws worked, black eyes sparkling with a soul-deep fear. Horror gripped Icefire's heart. Tears stung his eyes. He blinked them back quickly.
Tomorrow, as the sun rises, we'll begin. We'll torture him for 4 days. A holy number, 4. In the meantime, go to your shelters. Rest well this night. For once we start, there will be little sleeping with this enemy's screams in the night.
Walrus looked over to Icefire.
I'll stay to watch him. It wouldn't do for him to get loose.
Icefire nodded, motioning the others to go on about their business. Raven Hunter stared up at him, hate glistening in his black eyes. Walrus stepped back to the entrance, his eyes on the captive. Icefire knelt down to look into Raven Hunter's eyes.
So, you'll see what it's like for your victims. Tell me, what do you feel?
Raven Hunter's thinly pressed lips betrayed his fear. He looked away. Icefire nodded solemnly.
It's hard to believe such cruelty could come from me.
He saw the glint of comprehension in Raven Hunter's panicked face.
You know. Did your brother, Wolf Dreamer, tell you? Perhaps the witch, Heron.
Raven Hunter's eyes narrowed to slits. Icefire watched him for a moment, pensive, as he fingered his chin. He turned away and stood, nodding to Walrus.
Nice capture out there. I suppose you'll be wrestling white bears next.
Walrus grinned, fingering his darts.
It'll be a long night. I'll make us something to drink.
Icefire bent over the fire, pulling herbs from his pack, and reached for a horn spoon. From the corner of his eye, he studied his son, knowing what had to be done, contemplating the terrible danger involved.
Stop!
Dancing Fox stood, darts held loosely in her hand. She faced them on the narrow, rocky trail, twilight falling as the lavender night grew out of the east. 3 young men of the people, weapons clutched, crouched warily until they recognized her. She stepped toward the tallest man, Red Moon.
You're going to raid the others, aren't you? You know the Dreamer ordered that no one raid them again. You defy him?
What business is it of yours, woman?
He lifted his chin, an angry glint in his steely eyes.
If you raid, you'll split the people. Do you want...
Perhaps I'd leave you with a little something on the way, huh?
He suggestively caressed his crotch. The 2 youths who followed Red Moon smirked, eyes gleaming in anticipation. Dancing Fox lifted a brow.
More of Raven Hunter's teachings?
Red Moon took a step closer, leering.
He told us all about you. The way you...
Another step... and I'll kill you.
Kill me, woman? I've heard the stories that you killed 5 others. 5? Not all liars died with Crow Collar.
5.
The young hunters whirled, eyes wide, as Three Falls limped out of the shadows behind them, darts in hand.
I was there. She has more courage than 3 children who would rape a woman, as if you could rape her.
They flushed at the scorn in his voice. Red Moon's eyes went uncertainly back and forth, realizing how boxed in they were. The 2 youths sidled into the night, leaving Red Moon on his own.
What's your decision, Red Moon? Will you betray the people? Disobey the Dreamer who destroyed Crowcaller and Raven Hunter with mere words? You give the others reason to raid us when we're ragged and tired? You'd bring their revenge down on us when all we need is another full moon before we can leave this place forever? Is that what honor means to you?
Red Moon shifted, head down, swallowing hard. In a final decision, he threw his darts down on the rocks before sprinting off in the direction of his fellows. Dancing Fox closed her eyes wearily as she sank down on the rock.
Close one that time.
Three Falls nodded and shuffled his way over the rock to sit beside her.
But Red Moon was the worst. Stopping him stops the rest. Maybe that's time enough.
Maybe. The young men chafe more every day. How did Raven Hunter do it? Drive them all wild like that?
He gave them a taste of power. Let them see how fear could dominate their victims. But then Raven Hunter drove you into being who you are today, too.
She stiffened, meeting his gaze, finding tenderness there.
Relax. He's gone.
For me, he'll never be gone. I can never forget his visions. What he promised so long ago.
At the thought of being dropped in a hole, Raven Hunter's soul screamed within the cage of his exhausted body. His dreams raged unmercifully. Dirt choked in his convulsing throat, the spark of life draining away, while his soul remained trapped, locked in the roots and rot and cold, forever. Raven Hunter opened his eyes, enjoying the feel of the air as it rushed in and out of his body, soothing as it drifted across his skin. The place had become familiar by this time. He knew the post supports that held up the roof, the bundles of hides, the hanging pouches full of meat, the curious fetishes hanging from the walls. All had been memorized. This silent, warm shelter would become a bedlam of his screams. Now, in the red light, the shelter seemed harmless, peaceful. He swallowed hard, mouth dry and tight.
Life can be most precious, don't you think? Especially when the end is near?
Raven Hunter jerked his head around to see the tall dreamer they called Icefire.
Walrus is asleep. That drink I mixed for him contained a priceless root. Comes from the far west. Getting scarce now with all the different people moving.
Why?
Time to talk.
Icefire moved to squat to one side.
I wanted to find out who you are. Why you do what you do. Heron told me you were born in blood.
Heron, the dreamer. I suppose Runs and Light let you know I was coming.
Your brother?
Raven Hunter nodded miserably.
No.
Then...
why did you come? Just to kill me?
They would have laughed, joked about me. I had to show them. Let them see that Raven Hunter could die as he'd lived. Unbowed. A leader worthy of their respect.
Doesn't look like it will be that way. But then, why did you drive the people to fight us? What did you gain from that?
I made them warriors. Until Runs and Light stole them with his tricks, I was the man who led them. I led the people. You hear? And I would have remade them. Strong, powerful. Then we would have come and faced you and pushed you back. That's what I offered them. I gave them my strength, my visions.
Power.
Of course. What else is there? Respect? Another word for power. Wives? A powerful man has as many wives as he needs, and his children have more than any others. Power is life. It's control of that which is about you. And I saw. Understand? Unlike my weak brother's foolish dreams of holes in the ice, I saw the people saved. Saved!
Why cut up our warriors when you caught them?
Because I wanted your heart and soul to fear us. Fear me. That's why I came here. I came to kill you, their greatest dreamer. Then, even in death, they'd fear me. I'd have them.
You know what the coming 4 days will be like? Do I have to tell you?
I could probably teach your people a thing or two about pain. Yes. I know what they will do.
All things considered, I guess you do. But suppose there were another way.
Raven Hunter stiffened, a frantic leaping of hope in his chest. Icefire resettled himself.
What would it be worth to you if I gave you the heart and soul of the Mammoth people?
Raven Hunter narrowed his eyes, sensing a trap.
It doesn't make sense. Why? Why would you do such a thing?
You're cunning. You don't leap at the chance.
You'd let me kill you.
I'm not the heart and soul of the Mammoth people. I'm only the healer for the White Tusk clan. No, the heart and soul is the White Hide, a mammoth calf who came to us and gave us power. Each year, one clan or another earns the honor of holding the hide. Without it, the Mammoth people would be less than nothing, forsaken by the great mystery.
No, this is a trap. Some way to make me foolish or to dishonor me. You wouldn't do this to your people.
Icefire studied him from slitted lids, chin propped on steepled fingers.
Wouldn't I? What if, by the Mammoth people losing the power of the White Hide, my power became more? What if I could fill that gap?
Ravenhunter smiled as it came clear.
And of course, you'd get no blame.
And your visions? If you returned among your people bearing the White Hide, wouldn't it make you a man of status again? Wouldn't the young warriors look up to you? This wolf dreamer would be discredited. What's a dream compared to deeds? What's a dream compared to a warrior who has escaped the others with their sacred hide?
And you gain what?
I become the most powerful man among the Mammoth people. All I need is for you to take the White Hide beyond the big ice. No, don't look at me that way. I know Wolf Dreamer found a way. But do you think my people would pass through such a hole?
Icefire shook his head, a grim smile on his lips.
Like our singer said, we're not ground squirrels. No, I want the White Hide gone. I don't want any party of warriors stealing it back again, returning triumphantly with it over their shoulders. That would be, well, a definite embarrassment.
You've got this all thought out.
It works the best for all of us. Your people are beyond the ice. My young men don't die. I have peace and become the ultimate power among the four clans. You have your status as the greatest of your warriors. You've broken the spirit of the Mammoth people, stolen their greatest totem, and left them behind. We both win.
Ideas raced in Ravenhunter's head, the bits of vision coming together in a whole. Wolf Dreamer destroyed. Dancing Fox would be his forever. Her power would be growing now, a fitting mate for him. A flush of excitement surged through him. Perhaps the vision wasn't false after all.
She'll bear me a powerful child.
Who? You have a wife?
No. But I will.
You sound excited by the prospect.
I've seen her path, Other. I don't know what it means yet, but Dancing Fox's child will create a new future for the people. Some molding of something new. Something great. She's a key figure, a power among the people. And I intend that she be mine, and mine alone.
You can bend this great woman to your will?
Oh, I've done it in the past. I'll find a way in the future. It hurt me to let her go. Hurt like nothing else ever has. But I saw it, even then. She had to be tested, shaped by suffering. That deep essence of her soul had to be hardened, like a dart shaft over a dry fire. But it was worth it. Now she's ready to help me change the destiny of the people.
And she's not for Wolf Dreamer?
He's locked in his dreams. I've heard the story. He turned her down. Turned her down. The fool doesn't realize how important she is for the future.
Icefire nodded, eyeing him curiously.
Free me. I'll take your White Hide. I myself will lead the people through the hole in the ice. You have a bargain, Icefire. Your people for mine.
Icefire rocked back on his heels, hard eyes veiled.
I must warn you, the rest is up to you. The hide is in the small shelter in the middle of the camp. Four young men, one from each clan, sleep around the hide. Are you skilled enough? Can you get in silently and get out again without waking them? No, you can't kill the guards. Do that and my warriors will hunt you to the end, no matter where you run. Kill the guards and you also destroy the power of the White Hide.
I'm the best hunter among the people. I can do anything.
Icefire's smile spread, crinkling the lines around his mouth.
I'll also warn you. The hide is heavy. One man can carry it with difficulty. You'll be sore pressed. Among my people, the young men train constantly, hoping they're worthy of the honor of bearing the hide. Drop it, treat it roughly or without respect, and the hide will suck up your soul, little by little, until you find yourself floundering like a beached whale. Are you strong enough to carry the hide? The power it holds will destroy a man who shirks his responsibilities to it.
I'm ready to take the power. I'm the greatest of the people. I fear no test. I'll be more than worthy.
Yes, you're everything I'd feared you'd be.
He reached down with a sharp chert flake and severed the bindings on Raven Hunter's arms. Dancing Fox stood uncomfortably at the edge of the hot pool, watching the bright water swirl and splash against the yellow-crusted rocks. Overhead, another gray day promised freezing rain. The billowing cloud of geyser steam rolled out, pushed toward the big ice by the cruel wind. Dismal weather. The misty air reflected her own emotions, damp, shadowed, without joy or light or warmth. Behind her, the camp of the people looked worn and frayed. As they scuttled back and forth, bundled figures worked at stuffing berries into bags before the humid air could spoil them. Drying racks were hurriedly stripped of the remaining meat. A reality of famine had reared its head as hunter after hunter returned empty-handed. So few caribou had been slain. Only the old bull mammoth paced the hills now, trumpeting his loneliness to the wind-blasted rocks. The muskox had been hunted out long ago.
It's the ice or nothing. Blessed star people, but I'm hungry.
Dancing Fox had restricted her meals, setting an example of abstinence for her people. They watched soberly, rationing their intake. A bitter gnawing ate inside her as she glanced at Heron's shelter, seeing one who cries emerge and head straight for her.
He'd like to see you.
Dancing Fox nodded, a knot tying at the base of her throat.
I'd hope to be back and gone again before he found out.
Not anymore. You've become too important for your own good. You and Greenwater related?
I take it that he's feeling better?
He came out of it fine. Just woke up and looked around and said he was hungry. Ate like a mammoth bull in spring. Then he got up and walked out into the light. He climbed up to a high spot and sat there for a day, dreaming, I guess. But he said he was being part of the One.
Dreaming.
She walked up the path to cover her conflicting emotions. At the flap, she stopped short, unsure. A tremble made her heart light. He was there, just beyond that cracked bit of leather. So close, yet an eternity away. It took all her nerve to lift the flap and step in. A bright fire crackled in the oxidized fire pit. Wolfdreamer looked up, eyes meeting hers, melting her where she stood. His waist-length hair hung loose over his broad chest, brushing the dirt floor. His eyes were full of warmth and concern.
I hear you've practically been running the camp.
Dancing Fox shrugged, steering her thoughts away from him, back to the people, and finding refuge in the problems.
The worst part's been keeping Raven Hunter's warriors in line. The younger ones keep trying to sneak off to raid the others.
And the others?
From what we can gather, they're involved in the fall hunt, making meat for the winter.
Will you sit?
She settled herself hesitantly on a caribou hide, muscles tense, hands clasped to still the need to fidget, and looked across at him. His tall body had gained some perfection in the past months. A serenity and grace pervaded his every movement. And his eyes, even when he looked at her, he seemed to be staring into some distance in his mind.
I approved all the suggestions you made. I know Four Teeth is your mouthpiece, but Singing Wolf and One Who Cries back you up.
He smiled wistfully at her.
I didn't know what the dreaming could do to a person. How it affected the mind and body and soul. or I would have been here to help you.
I know you would have.
Dancing Fox felt her heart thudding sickeningly, the ache of wanting to touch him as strong as ever.
Thank you for taking care of the people for me.
What's next?
We go south as soon as we can. Beyond that, I can't see, except that something cataclysmic looms on the horizon.
Cataclysmic?
Yes. Opposites crossed. Balances equaling each other. Conjunction.
What are you talking about?
Words aren't meant for dreams.
Are you finished with the mushrooms?
One more time. On the other side, at the conjunction. Then I'm through.
And then what?
What?
Can you ever... Will you ever be a normal man again?
Normal?
Will you ever be able to love again?
His smile grew slowly, making his face glow.
I love everyone, Dancing Fox. It's part of the oneness, you see.
A hollow ache built in her stomach. He smiled, a kind expression on his face.
You're asking more, aren't you? If I'll ever feel a special love like I once felt. Those feelings are illusory. That's what killed Heron. She never really allowed herself to go all the way. That center of her soul wouldn't surrender. Wouldn't become nothing.
She waved a hand negligently.
Sounds like nonsense.
Nonsense? That's a good expression. A place where sense isn't. No me or you, no black or white. The pulse of one and none.
He cocked his head, eyes going over her face tenderly.
Do you understand?
No. Not really.
I love you more now than I did before. Because I don't want you now.
Don't want?
I know your soul for what it is. Pure and beautiful, and the same as mine. The same as everything's. Humans only want what is different from themselves. You and I, we're one.
Defeated and confused, she nodded and stood.
I take it you'll agree to anything I say about moving the camp? About establishing chores for people?
Yes. No one could do it better than you.
It snowed a little last night. The water that froze in the boiling ponches the other day never unthawed. I'm going to start the elders down to the hole. Will you lead them through?
I'll do anything you want me to.
Hardly.
She stepped through the flap. A dead weight lay heavy on her soul. The shelter stood dark, a musty smell wafting on the breeze filtering through the door flap. In the dim light of a dying fire, dozens of hostile, hurt faces shone. Standing with hunched shoulders in the far corner, Walrus slapped his pants hard, his expression sullen.
I don't know what happened. I felt fine, and then...
And then you fell asleep and let an enemy steal the hide!
Red Flint's rage made the young hunter wince. Icefire gritted his teeth and stepped forward.
You were fine when I left. We talked about the hunting, about whether or not the enemy would raid with their war leader dead and buried, and I asked if you'd be all right. Sure, you said. There's going to be no trouble. And you laughed. So I went back to Red Flint's shelter and went to sleep.
Walrus's face fell, his defiance shattering like a skim of ice under a hammerstone. For a brief instant, Icefire's chest tightened, regret filling him. This doughty warrior deserved better than the pain he was forced to give him.
Walrus wasn't the only one. The finest of our young men? These.
He turned his back to them. Icefire paced up and down the narrow aisle in the packed shelter.
What happened isn't important anymore.
Not important? The White Hide's been stolen by an enemy. You tell me what is important.
Getting it back!
Icefire looked around in the sudden silence. He shouted so rarely it stunned people now. Every man, woman, and child in the lodge stared open-mouthed at him. They waited, hearts and souls wrenched by the greatest tragedy to have ever befallen the Mammoth people. Icefire mentally cringed, feeling their pain touch his heart. But there was no other way to force them south. Red Flint raised his hands, dropping his head.
We'll get it back.
Of course we will!
Icefire slammed a fist into his palm, then turned pensively to Yellowcalf.
You represent Buffalo Clan. Horse Tracker speaks for the Roundhoof Clan, and Ice Stalker speaks for Tiger Belly. Does everyone agree that I shall speak for White Tusk?
Heads nodded all around the shelter.
Very well. I say this. Send the fastest runners we have to Buffalo and Roundhoof Clans. Ask for their best warriors. I warn you, only the best, the bravest.
Horse Tracker threw his shoulders back and met Icefire's gaze.
All our young men are...
Will all our young men be willing to walk under the ice through the Ghost Hole in pursuit of the enemy? Do they have the courage to fight and die under the ice, in the blackness?
Icefire cocked his head, waiting. Ice Stalker stepped forward, his thin face grim.
You haven't mentioned Tiger Belly in all this.
I don't think we can afford to have the Tiger Belly clan weaken when the diseased peoples to your west would try and force you back. If it does turn out that the water is rising to cover the world, it will meet between your lands and the far enemies. Do we want it to close behind them or in front?
We'll hold the western borders of our land.
But you had better recover the White Hide.
Icefire held his eyes until the leader looked nervously away.
I understand Tiger Belly Clan's concern. You've honored the White Hide for many years, but that does not mean the rest of us value it less.
Just get it back.
Yellow Calf? Horse Tracker? Are you willing?
Horse Tracker nodded.
Send the runners. I am responsible for my clan. We'll go south, through the ice, and get our sacred hide back.
My clan is with you, and this enemy will pay.